Awesome. So today we're going to call this Independence Day. That'll be the name of the message. First, I want to start with a story. So we're going to start in Acts 19, 13 through 16. That's the story. If anybody knows the story, I'm sure most people know the story. I'm going to read it off the screen here. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcist. Wow, how would you like that title? That job title. Attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I command you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Wow. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered then, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them. That means he beat their butts. So that they ran out of the house naked and wounded. Wow. That's rough. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there in the world who, when they get in a tough situation, when they feel attacked, they will pronounce the name of Jesus, but they still get pounced on. They still get overcome, they get beat up, and so today we're going to talk about independence from Satan, and that is we have independence from Satan by having dependence on Jesus. And one of the things these guys didn't have, anybody guess what they did not have? They had the name of Jesus, but what did they not have? The Holy Spirit, power. Yeah, another word for power in the Bible, it talks about a lot, is the word authority. So in Luke 10:19, it says this: "Look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you." This is Jesus talking to the disciples that he sends out. Let me ask you a question. If you have the Spirit of the living God inside of you, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, are you his disciple? Amen? So this verse applies to you, right? Okay. Cool. So Jesus has given you authority. But here's an interesting thing. And it's something that God woke me up and showed me this morning at 5:45. I always love it when he does that. But he blessed my other sleep. So, hey, we're good. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus says this. Some of you recognize this as the Great Commission. "Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Some verses say even to the end of the age. So that therefore, Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of that, consequently, go and do this, right? That authority we have not separate from him. It is because of him. It is in him. And where did he get that authority? Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me by the Father. Jesus said, there's nothing I do except for I see the Father do it. So Jesus is operating under the authority of God in heaven. And then Jesus hands that authority off to us as his believers. Why? His Spirit lives inside of us. So this is a relationship. Jesus says, I'm going to be with you always. My Spirit is going to be inside of you, directing you, guiding you. And you can operate in my authority. Jesus says, in my name, you will do these things. You will cast out demons. You're going to do these things. All of these things you will do in my name. So there is a reality here, and that is our authority rests and resides with him. You think about a sheriff. I was watching Tombstone recently. Anybody ever seen Tombstone? Yeah, okay. I'm going to talk about Tombstone in a second. But Wyatt Earp had a badge, right? What did he have with that badge? Sure, he had a gun, but he had authority. His badge represented the law the regional, whether it was the state, you know, like we have DPS officers, we have local Ingleside. So an Ingleside police officer came in here and did something, he would have the backing of the entire city of Ingleside, has given him the authority to enforce the law, right? Okay. So we're going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And it says this. I'm reading it out of the NLT. I think that's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It will be slightly different, but I think you'll all be able to follow along. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. I'm going to pause here and tell a story from Tombstone. Does anybody, so people at Tombstone haven't seen Tombstone, I'm going to tell you the story, all right? Wyatt Earp wanders into a little town called Tombstone. That's the name of the movie. And he walks into a bar, and there's a guy dealing cards over there in the corner. And the guy, Wyatt Earp comes up to the bartender and says, "Hey, this is a pretty nice place. Where is everybody? You know, you got a nice place here." He said, "Well, this joker over here, I would show you all the clip of the movie, but there's some language and it's rated R, so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you the story." But he says, "This guy over here came in one day and ran off the good customers, and he's been sitting there at the poker table like he owns the place." And Wyatt kind of looks at him and says, "Well, it sounds like you need a new dealer." And the guy and the bartender's like, "Yeah, easy for you to say." And he goes, "I'll go take care of it." So he walks over there. I don't know what the character's name is, but it was played by Billy Bob Thornton excellently, I have to say. He was a real scumbag. And so he's sitting there, and he's yelling at everybody, cussing at everybody, and everybody is scared of him. He threatens to shoot everybody. "Hey, I'll pull out this gun, and I'll shoot you if you don't do what I tell you to do." And everybody's kind of scared of him. Wyatt Earp walks over and says, "Hey, just want you to know, you're sitting in my seat." And Billy Bob Thornton's like, "Oh, is that right? Yeah, who are you?" He goes, "I'm the guy that's going to take over your job." "Oh, yeah? Well, I don't like your tone." He stands up and acts like he's about to pull his gun. And Wyatt Earp says, "Do it. Pull that gun. Let's go." And Billy Bob Thornton's like, I will. He walks up and he goes, "Do it." He doesn't do it. So Wyatt Earp hauls off and slaps the tar out of him. And then slaps him again. And he keeps acting like he's about to do something. And Wyatt Earp just slaps him. And then finally just looks at him and says, "Are you going to do something? You're just going to sit there and bleed." And Billy Bob Thornton, So Wyatt Earp grabs him by the ear and says, "Come on." And takes him out and kicks his butt out the front door. Question I have to ask y'all today. Two main things we're going to talk about today. This is the first one. And the question is this. Is the devil sitting in your seat? There are some of us, and I mean I'm included, there have definitely been times in my life when God has promised me something in his word. God has said, "Hey, I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy. These are things that I want for you. These are things that I've paid the price for you." And Satan wiggles his way in there. He sits down and he says, "Nah, this is the peace seat. I'm not going to let you have peace. You don't get peace today. I'm in charge." And we get worried. We get concerned. I don't know. But in the authority that Christ has given us, we can say, "No, not today. You're in my seat. Get out." Amen? All right. So that's the first question I have for you guys today, and that's the kind of one something to leave you with. Is there something in your life, is there an area in your life where God has promised you something and Satan has taken it away from you? If he has, you have authority. This is the message today. You have independence from that. You have independence from Satan and what he's trying to do in your life. God wants to crush the plans of Satan that he is trying to bring about in your life. And the only way that Satan is going to be successful is if you let him. Amen? So we have to stand, as it says here in Ephesians. We put on the full armor of God and we stand against the schemes of the enemy in our lives. We say, no. No, you don't have authority to do that. And we have to do that daily. We have to do that moment by moment sometimes. Satan, you know, we're in the middle of an argument with a spouse, you know, and it's like, and then we have to stand. No, you know what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This isn't what's really going on. What's really going on is Satan is trying to drive a wedge between me and my wife. What God has put together, let no man tear asunder. Amen? And so we know that that's the word. We know that that's God's will. And then this starts happening. And we go, oh. And if we're not paying attention, we miss it. Satan's wiggling in there. He's trying to sit in the seat. We have to say no. Say no. No, that's not going to happen today. I'm surrendering the situation to the Lord. I can't remember how long it was ago. I think it was 2 years, 3 years ago. But I spoke here, and I talked about a tool that God has for you. Does anybody remember what that tool is? It had a funny name. It was the big butt. And Jesus' big butt is what we called it. But I know everybody's like, wow, that's inappropriate. But we're talking about where Jesus said, but not my will, but your will be done. And that tool is a tool that we can use in our daily lives, and we can use that tool to slap Satan out of our seat. Not my will, not your will, Satan, but God's will be done in my life today. And that's what I'm surrendering to. All right. We're almost done. I know. Y'all are all excited. It's Independence Day. They're going to dunk some people back here, and which sounds really nice because I'm kind of sweating. Ephesians 15, continuing, it says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery enemies, Stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Back to Tombstone real quick. Does anybody, towards the end of Tombstone, Wyatt Earp, he's not real fast with a gun. He's a good shot, but he's not real quick with a gun. And there's a guy named Johnny Ringo who's kind of head of the bad guys. He's a lead bad guy. He's very quick with a gun. And Wyatt Earp has called out, you know, Johnny Ringo's been called out by Wyatt Earp's been called out by Johnny Ringo, and they're supposed to meet off in the woods. And Johnny Ringo knows that he's going to win that. And Wyatt Earp knows he's going to win it too. He's like, I'm not quick enough. He's probably going to, you know, shoot me dead. But Wyatt Earp has a good buddy, a friend, and his friend is named Doc Holliday. And Doc Holliday is very quick with a gun. So they meet out, Johnny Ringo's out in the woods waiting for Wyatt Earp to show up. He hears somebody walking, sees a shadow coming through the trees, and goes, I didn't think you'd show up. And then out of the shadows, here comes Johnny Ringo. He got there before Wyatt Earp, and he said, I'm your huckleberry. And Johnny Ringo gets nervous, and he goes, my fight's not with you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what God's calling us to. Here in Ephesians, you look at the end of Ephesians. So we just talked about the armor of God, right? So it says, all this stuff that we got to put on the armor of God. We got to stand strong. And then it continues, and it talks about the sword of the Spirit. And then it says this last thing, and it doesn't, if you're not paying attention, you're like, well, that doesn't, well, you just read through it. Oh, okay, yeah, the Bible, blah, 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 Ephesians, blah, blah, blah. But here it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. This is why we got the armor. This is it. We put on the full armor. We took up the sword. And what does anybody know what the sword represents? The word of God from your pastor. So you know it's true. It's the Bible, right? The word of God is the Bible. We know what God's will is because of the Bible. So when we're praying in the Spirit, in connection with God, in the authority that he's given us, we are praying his word. We're taking up that Spirit. The Spirit is telling us to take up his word and pray in the Spirit, connected to him, under his authority, speaking his word for all believers everywhere. So that's my other question. So you, some of you got the devil sitting in your seat in your own life, and that needs to be dealt with. But then the next step is the devil affecting the people of the lives around you. And you know he is. So we are called to pray in the Spirit, connected in his authority, his word over the people of the lives around, over the lives of the people around us. Whether that is a missionary in Africa, or whether that's your neighbor, whether that's your family, whoever it is, this is the warfare that we are supposed to be about. And this warfare brings about independence from Satan, not only for us, but for them. Amen? And how do we know that? Because that's God's will. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Amen? God, that's what God wants in your life. God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free from bondage to sin and death and hell and Satan and all of his schemes. He desires you to be free. He desires you to do the amazing things. I know you're going through Ephesians. To do the amazing things that he planned for you long ago. Amen? That's what he's about. So I'm going to give you another tool today. And this is a simple tool. But when we talk about the question, of course, is we're going to fight for your brothers and sisters, and here's a way to do that. It's Matthew. I don't know a whole lot of Christians that don't know this passage of Scripture, but we're just going to read it together. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to be praying for God's will to be accomplished, not only in our own life, in the world around us, and specifically, as we talked about in Ephesians, for believers all around the world. For your brothers and sisters in Christ, they need you. Look around the room. Look around the room. Your brothers and sisters in Christ need you. We come together in different ways. Sometimes it's prayer, like at the beginning of the service. And that's good. And that's an appropriate thing that needs to happen. But we also need to daily pray for one another. And I'm not trying to convict anybody here, but do you have a time of prayer where you pray for other believers, for your brothers and sisters in Christ during the day? Do you have a time like that? Because that's what God's calling us to. As we go about our day, there's times when God will bring somebody to my mind and I'm like, oh, and it's just like, I need to take a moment and stop and pray for them. It doesn't have to be some big rigmarole. It doesn't have to be some big religious observance where I light candles and light incense and chant. It's something simple because we have a real relationship with God. His Spirit resides within us. And when his Spirit tells us to pray, we need to pray. We need to intercede for those people around us. And the question here then becomes, what is God's will? Does anybody know where we can find God's will? In the Word. Yeah. In the Word of God. Exactly. So we study the Word. We study the Word so that we have the tools and the resources to fight the battle. Amen? So if I don't have that arrow in my quiver, I can't fire that arrow, right? But if I've read the Word and I know what the God's Word says about For example, somebody that's struggling with sorrow. And I say, and I know they're struggling with sorrow. This isn't just a season of sorrow. It's something that is trying to take hold in their lives. And I know that, no, His joy comes in the morning. That sorrow is temporary. God wants joy for His life, her life. And so therefore, I can pray in faith, believing and knowing what God's word is, connected under His authority, praying His word, and make a difference in the lives of the people around me. Amen? All right. That's it. I know. It was like, wow. Not very long. I just wanted to give you all that. God laid it on my heart. I just want to share it with you guys. Thank you all so much for listening. God bless y'all.
Father, thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for your Spirit being with us. Thank you for the authority that you have given us. Help us to understand, Father, so the enemy cannot take any seat in the place that we're supposed to be sitting or standing or walking. Thank you for that and for giving us the strength. Help us to get into your word. Remind us, Father, and then help us to pray and help us to resist the enemy so he will flee from us. In Jesus' name, amen.